Okay, good morning, everyone. I hope everyone is doing well. This past parsha, we read Parshas Ekev. A very, very jam-packed parsha with quite a few messages and lessons for our lives. But I will just focus on the beginning of the parsha where the Torah opens up and it says, V'hoyo Ekev Tishmun. And that word Ekev is very unclear what the Torah means by that. What exactly is the intent of those words? Because if you continue on in the parasha, you read that the Torah describes such beautiful and wonderful presents and gifts that are waiting for us if we fulfill whatever Ekev Tishmun means. The Torah says we will be loved by Hashem, He will bless us, He will bless our fruits, He will bless our farmland, our farm animals, there'll be no infertility. Really, really beautiful, beautiful brachas. But we don't know exactly what Ekev Tishmon means. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, it's referring to what's called the mitzvahs kalos, the easy mitzvahs, sha'odom dosh ba'akovav, that people step on with their feet. So there's many different interpretations of what exactly is this mitzvah, what's an example of this mitzvah. But I believe the lesson perhaps of this Rashi, and therefore of the pasuk, is that very often in life, we only focus on what we consider big deals. Things that are you know, big importance. You know, the little things in life often don't get so much recognition. The small things, the things that don't always make it to the front pages of books and stories and history books and newspapers, the small things are just as important as well. Reb Shimshon Pinkus points out in his Sefer that he thinks that an example of something which is dosh ba'akovav is like which way to get dressed in the morning. We actually had an entire shir, halacha share about how to get dressed in the morning, because there are detailed rules to how to get dressed in the morning. Now, it's not hard. It's just specific details that we often don't focus on the details. And I was giving this share on Shabbos, and a guy tells me, he says, but it's not such a big mitzvah. I said, that's exactly the point. That's exactly the point. Because everyone says, well, you think Hashem really cares which way I put my shoe on? Yes. Because if He didn't care, He wouldn't have made it a halacha and shulchan aruch, how to get dressed. The answer is He does care. Does He care as much as you eating at Burger King? Probably not. But that doesn't mean He doesn't care. This is the mistake that we often make in life, is that we only look at the big things, you know? We don't look at the small things. And many Mefarshim argue that some of the small things that we consider small are not as small at all. And how many people say, like, okay, Lashon Hara is not really Asur. It's like a Chumrah, you know? It's like, you know, Chalv Yisrael, you know? It's for the Frumah people. The rest of us don't have to be Makbid. It's like you hear people saying, you know, COVID's a Chumrah. It's not really out there. It's only a Chumrah. Some people are Noig, some people are not Noig, right? There are certain things that are not Chumrah. They're realities, right? Lashon Hara is a Metzius. It's not a Chumrah. It's an Isser. But people have it in their mind that it's a nice Chumrah if you want to opt in or you want to opt out. These are mitzvahs that people just don't take the sensitivity towards them. But I think the issue over here is the detail. Very often in life, we lose focus on detail. We're more like big picture people. Go me the big picture. You know, big picture, I got to keep Shabbos, I got to keep Kashrus, the big picture. The little details, you know, that's not so important. No, the Torah is telling us that in order to find the bracha on this week's parasha, we need to focus on the small things as well. The subtle details that are there as well are as essential, perhaps, as the main things also. But what's Taka de Pshat? Why are the small things so important? Why does Hashem care if I put my right shoe on before my left shoe? The answer is because we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of love. And if you know in any giving relationship, in any healthy relationship, one of the best signs are that you notice the details. Right? If you're in a relationship with a spouse, it's not just enough to know, you know, to remember her birthday and your anniversary. It's the little things along the way that you remember, that you take notice of, and that you recognize. That shows, that's an indicator that you're in a good, healthy relationship. So when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the same thing. It's not enough just to keep the biggies, the big deals, you know, the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu openly expresses anger and disappointment with us if we don't do. We have to do even the little things, the small things that maybe we think no one cares about, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about also. They say over a story with Rav Pam, where a boy came to put on tefillin for the first time before his bar mitzvah to Torah V'Das Yeshiva. And he came with his parents, obviously very excited to see their son put on tefillin for the first time. And the boy goes into the Beis Medrash with his father, and he starts to put on tefillin. The mother waits in the hallway. So a few minutes afterwards, Rav Pam runs out of the Beis Medrash, and he goes over to the lady. He says, you know, I think you'd be able to get a better view if you came into my office. So you come to my office during davening, so you can watch your son put on tefillin, and I'll daven in the Beis Medrash. The godless of that story is that most of us wouldn't be focused on the details of the mother's desire to see her son put on tefillin from a better angle. Those are details. Most of us will say, listen, Rapam was a very busy man. He had a lot of things to do. The last thing on his mind was, you know, whether or not the mother will get a better view of her son putting on tefillin. But that's the art of detail. When a person notices details and he's sensitive to the little things in life, he appreciates the little things much more. They say about Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, you'll see today is like Torah V'das Day. We're going to quote a lot of people from Torah V'das. But okay, so far Rapam, next to Rabbi Yaakov. So Rabbi Yaakov, we'll say four G'dayim from Torah V'das today. Rabbi Yaakov was once walking down the street in Muncie. I heard this story from Rabbi Tzal Radinsky, noted Rav and Rosh Hashiva in Muncie. So he said that Rabbi Yaakov was walking with a bunch of Talmidim down the street in Muncie, and a guy stops Rabbi Yaakov to ask Rabbi Yaakov what time it was. So he said that a lot of the Bochum are like a little like taken aback. You know, this is one of the G'dayim Hador, and you're going to ask him what time it is? So he said Rabbi Yaakov was thrilled to death that he was able to be mekayim the mitzvah of the Haftal Reacha Kamoicha. Because for Rabbi Yaakov, giving someone the time was a mitzvah. It wasn't just an inconvenience. It wasn't just, Eino Lefi Chvoid. It was the mitzvah. That's how we look at these little things. These little things that we don't think twice about. We kind of just, move on with our life. To G'doylim, these are mitzvahs. Rabbi Yaakov was saying, look at that. I can be mekayim the mitzvah of Haftal Reacha Kamoicha. It doesn't cost me a penny. It doesn't cost me a dime. All you got to do is give the guy the time. So in life, there are these many moments of these small little details that if we just open our eyes to see that they're easy, they're kalois, they're easy to do. And I always give an example, saying hello to someone, good morning to someone, have a good day, how are you feeling? Sending someone a text, a WhatsApp, how are you feeling, how the family? It costs nothing. It's easy. But we're dash b'akov because we say to ourselves, you think it really matters? You think this guy really cares if I send the message? I'm telling you, he does. People like to feel that people are worried about them, especially again now the situation is getting a little better. But during when we were on lockdown, all people wanted was contact with the outside world, whether or not it came through social media or came through another mode. People were dying literally to get some form of contact with outside their four walls of their home. And people say, they don't want it. They do. People care for it. These are mamish what I consider mitzvahs kalas. They're easy. You shoot someone an email, shoot someone a text message, it costs you nothing. Dash b'akov, but no one thinks about it because we don't think that that's important. We don't think that that's going to make a difference in the world. We don't think that's what's going to bring the Beis HaMikdash. Now we think if we learn for 20 hours, which again, I definitely endorse learning for 20 hours, don't get me wrong. And we think if we drop $1 million in a moisture, and I think that would be great if we can all do it. But that's not the only way to be an active and very productive member of Klal Yisrael. One of the greatest ways, by doing the little things. Good morning, how are you? How's it going? Smiling, little things. I think mamash, that's mitzvah kalos. That's easy. They don't cost money, and they're dosh b'akovav. No one keeps them. Not because anyone's bad, because people don't realize or they don't think it makes a difference. I heard this story from Rav Aryeh Leibowitz, and I was a little surprised to hear it, because it was about my Rosh Hashiva, and I should have known the story myself. He said the Maisa with the Bzelag Epstein also was a Magid Shir in Torah V'das for many years. He said that at Rav Zelig's Levaya, which I was at personal, I was there. I don't remember hearing the story, but it was a while back. His Yartzeit was actually a few days ago. He said over that Reb Zelig, that his son, my Rebbe, Reb Kalman, said about his father, that his father once commented, he said that he's not sure if his ticket to the next world is going to be all his learning. He's not sure if his ticket to the next world is going to be all the hasmada that he put in. He said he knows for sure his ticket to the next world is all the time he spent with people helping them. He was known for being an unbelievable pikech. He had unbelievable insight. Everyone used to come to him to speak to him for advice. All the big hotshot Rosh Hashivas would come to him. And then after they'd speak to him, they would declare policy for Klal Yisrael. But it was well known to anyone who knew anything that behind the scenes, he was the one making all the big decisions for Klal Yisrael, behind all the G'dolim was. He was the Rosh Hashiva's Rosh Hashiva. But he claimed that his ticket to the next world is not the time that he said Shurim. It's not the learning that he did. And he was a fantastic masmid. His son told him, my Rebbe told us, he used to stay up all night learning. It was normal for him. He didn't stay up all night like today. The kids practice staying up all night. They first take a nap in the afternoon. Then they buy 12 coffees. And then they stay up the whole night, and the next day they sleep for 2 days straight. No, he stayed up the whole night learning, and the next day he went to Torah V'das to say Yeshir. That was his job. He was an unbelievable master, but he said about himself, he doesn't think that's going to be his ticket to Olam Haba. He says he thinks his ticket to Olam Haba is all the time that he helped people. It's so empowering to realize that the difference that we can make in someone's life. A kind word, chizuk, just a listening ear. So many people are just looking for a listening ear. I don't know if we have any therapists that listen to our share, but I don't mean to be mean. But a very big bulk of what therapy is just a listening ear. Obviously, they have unbelievable insight as well, and that'd help. But a lot of it is just a listening ear, someone to listen to you and to validate your feelings. You can do that as a friend. You can do that as a spouse. You can do that as a parent. You can do that as a grandparent. You can do that as a neighbor. But most of us don't have the time for it because our lives are so busy. I don't have time to hear you kvetch about your wife and to kvetch about your kids and to kvetch about your job. I just don't have the time for it. So fast forward to the point. But if Taka, we would, be more sensitive and, have more time, we'd be able to just be better friends, just to listen. And that could be our ticket. We have no idea. We mamish have no idea what's going to be the source of the Yeshua. So that's what I think the lesson in this week's parasha is, that we often overlook the details. We go straight to the, you know, the main event. We don't look at the subdivisions of life, the very important parts of life that I think are essential to all of us, and they're essential to Geula. And who knows what's going to be the final Makkah B'Patish to bring the Mashiach? I have no idea. Maybe it's going to be when we actually sit down and listen to each other. We're compassionate to each other. We give a listening ear to each other. Maybe that's going to be the ticket to Mashiach. We don't know. I don't know. But we definitely see from this week's parasha that we have to be a little bit more, you know, caring, a little bit more sensitive to the mitzvahs that people are dosh ba'kavav. They see over that when Rabbi Soloveitchik would say shir in Moed Katan in YU, so Mendel Zaks was very disappointed. Mendel Zaks was a son-in-law by the Chofetz Chaim. He was the boy. He was the one who gave smicha in Radin. Just to picture that, Mendel Zaks was the son-in-law of the Chofetz Chaim, and he gave the smichas in Radin. So he was upset with Rabbi Soloveitchik because he thought that the Mesoira always was is that we don't learn mesechtas like Avelos unless a person is actually in Avelos. You don't teach these things in yeshiva, which is again many yeshivas today they don't learn. It's based on a Chassam Sofer. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said that he has a Mesoira from Volozhin. He said in the Volozhin yeshiva they started with brachas dat beis and they went all the way straight till Nida. So you see in Volozhin yeshiva they learned all the mesechtas. So you see it's not a problem. And then he told them Avar, I think from Rav Chaim Volozhin, that just like there's such a thing called a meis mitzvah. Right? We know a meis mitzvah is the highest level of chesed. Even a kohen is allowed to be metamed to a meis mitzvah. So I think Reb Chaim Volozhin said, not only is there a meis mitzvah, there's also certain Torah that has a din of a meis mitzvah. No one learns it. There's certain mesechtas, there's certain limudim that no one learns. And it's a mitzvah to learn it, also meis mitzvah. So I want to say there's certain mitzvahs that people just don't do. So it's beged the meis mitzvah. If you do these types of mitzvahs, if you're more careful with these types of mitzvahs, it's beged the meis mitzvah. You're bringing back mitzvahs which should be practiced, that because for whatever reason they're not practiced. And that was Rabbi Soloveitchik's argument to why it was okay to say Shirim Ma'id Katan, which he did, and his Shurim are written up today, the very Geshmak Shurim. You can get them now, Shuri Harav on Mesechas Ma'id Katan. We've quoted from them in the past, very, very Geshmak Shurim. But he felt that there's this concept of a Meis Mitzvah on Torah, and there's a concept, I think there's a kind of Meis Mitzvah on mitzvahs. There are plenty of mitzvahs that are dead today. People don't do them anymore. They're not popular, they're not in style, they're not cool. So we have to bring these mitzvahs back, and we have to show significance. I like to say over this word from the Ger Rebbe, I've said it over before, I'm sure you've heard it from me, but I think it's a worthwhile word. The Ger Rebbe points out that at the end of the parasha, the Torah juxtaposes two mitzvahs. It juxtaposes the mitzvah of tefillin, right next to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah to your children. The mitzvah to teach your children Torah. So the Ger Rebbe said, just like we know there's a halacha that you're not allowed to be meisiach das from your tefillin, we know that a person is not allowed to forget that he's wearing tefillin, said the Ger Rebbe, you're also not allowed to be meisiach das from your children's education. Your children's chinuch is something that has to be front and center in your mind all the time. You can't take it for granted. You can't stop thinking about how to improve your child's spirituality. Just like when you're wearing your tefillin, you have to always be focused on the tefillin, you always have to be focused on your child's chinuch. I think it's such a powerful lesson. The world we live in today, it's even more so. And again, as I always say, bigger the kids, bigger the problems. There's more to worry about, there's more to be concerned about. And therefore, we continuously worry about. I always say over the story from the Stipler that the Reb Chaim Kanevsky's mother used to daven that her son should grow up to be a Talmud Chacham. He was already a big Talmud Chacham. He was already a Rosh Hashiva saying Shurim. He was already in his 50s. She would daven every day he should grow up to be a Talmud Chacham. So we can never not worry about our children's chinuch, no matter how big they are, even if they have their own children. And they're very successful, hopefully. But we always have the obligation to worry about our children's chinuch, their whereabouts, the Talmud Torah, the growth. It's something that goes on forever. Okay, so just very bekitza, this Tuesday night we have a Halacha Shir. Part 2 on what to do when you find a mistake in the Sefer Torah. This Wednesday night, we're slated to have a Chumash here. It depends. If my wife is able to find us a place to go away for the night, and we're able to divide our kids equally to someone to watch them, then we'll probably have to record this year and send it out maybe Thursday or Thursday night. I will let Michael know as we get closer. We are definitely trying to get away for at least one night before the summer comes to a close. If we'll be Matzliach, only God knows. So I will keep everyone posted whether or not there will be a Chumash Shir on Wednesday. I just want to mention I had a very special schus this week to go to a chasana, which in itself is a privilege, and I got to see some of our members of our shir in person. I got to see Chaim Erlich and David Portel, which was astonishingly nice just to see human beings not through a screen. That itself was a mechai, but at the chasana, David Portel mentioned to me that his son, Eli, had a baby boy a few weeks ago. The bris was a Shabbos bris. We always have to mention whenever there's a Shabbos bris in our shiurim, that's always unique and special because we're learning Rebbe Loz Demila. I wanted to publicly wish him Mazel Tov, as well as his son Eli, who was a Talmud of mine in Yeshiva. A very special Mazel Tov. Eli himself today is a Rebbe. It's always nice to see when you're Talmidim become Rebbeim. means I didn't scare them off of the industry to become a Rebbe. But nonetheless, it's beautiful to see that he's a Marbitz Torah today, and he's doing amazing work in social working, helping Klal Yisrael, and he should be a, continue to be a nachas to you, David, and to your entire family. Mitzvah Hashem with the new baby, and all of the children should be a source of nachas to you and your wife, and to all of Klal Yisrael. David Pollack, are you on the thing?
Yes, I'm okay. Here, Rabbi.
David, what's the name? I'm sorry.
That's all right. Esther Sarah Baschaya Pesel.
So our learning today should be a refuah shleima for Esther Sarah Baschaya Pesel, Besoich Sha'ar Chole Yisrael, amongst all those others
Amen.
Who need a very, very important refuah shleima. Okay, we're going back a little bit. Yes, last week we talked about the sugya of Mesa Achiv Machmas Mila. What happens when you have a family that has two babies and both babies die from the Mila? Now the question is, what do you do with baby number three? Today we're going to open that sugya up and broaden it to some other areas of halacha. I already got the feeling from last week's shiur that people were already trying to understand what type of chazaka this is. So in order to do that, we're going to go a little backwards and broaden this concept of Mesa Achiv Machmas Mila. But hopefully by doing so, we will then have a better understanding of the entire sugya. But in order to do so, we need to go to a Gemara in Yevamos. It's a little long Gemara, a little longer than we've usually learned Gemaras here, but it's a very, very important Gemara for many, many reasons. So let's read it together carefully, slowly inside, and we'll see how this Gemara is going to be very, very relevant. The Gemara starts off like this. The Mishnah Yevamos is talking about a couple that gets married, and after 10 years, they realize that they are not lucky enough to have children. There is some form of an infertility issue. Again, Baruch Hashem, today we have wonderful, wonderful organizations that help about it. Again, I don't want to get into it now, even though it's this week's parasha. It's Baruch Tia Mikolamim, Lo Yebecha Oka V'Akara. So I'd like to say, Pshat is that we are blessed as a nation that we have organizations like Bani Olam, and we have Eitan, we have many other organizations. I don't mean to only single out and Pua. Those are the three main ones I'm aware of that really, really help amazingly with Klal Yisrael's infertility. And that's Pshat HaPasuk. Baruch Tia Mikolamim. You are blessed in all the other nations that you have people that are concerned enough and care enough to start organizations, to run programs, to be involved. Therefore, Lo Yebucha Akav Akara. That's why you won't have problems with infertility, because you're going to have people that are going to help you with it. The Goyim will have infertility because no one's going to help them. A couple in Kentucky that's having infertility, no one in Virginia is coming to help them. Maybe they start a GoFundMe page and they put out a video, maybe. But for us, Klai, so we have organizations, three organizations off the top of my head that I know of, that work with all demographics of Klai, so Chassidish, Sfaradim, Litvish, not religious, yes religious, they help. And I can tell you, I've been personally involved. I'll tell you personally, I've seen with my own eyes that there are people who work for a time that are not college professionals. And I don't think they ever went to a college class in their life. When they tell doctors that are experts in infertility, do this, the doctors jump and listen. I'm an aid echad. I can tell you firsthand, I saw with my own eyes, where a doctor said X, and a chassidish lady, her name is Goldie, a wonderful woman, and she told the doctor, I think you're wrong, do X, Y, and the doctor was masking, and she was 100% right. And she, because of her advice, the couple was able to have a very healthy baby. It's nerve-wracking. It's unbelievable to see what these people are doing. And no one is, as far as I know, no one's taking any big checks. I'm sure people do get paid, but many of these people are volunteers. It's amazing to see what Klal Yisrael is doing. But again, after all that is said and done, Nebuch, there are still people that still are having difficulty. But okay, I just have to get that in because it connects to the parasha. But the Mishnah over in Yevamos is talking about a case of a couple that's married for 10 years and they can't have children. So the Gemara says, Mishnah says they get divorced. And the Mishnah says, so she now is allowed to marry another man because we don't anticipate that the infertility will be with another man. So the question is, let's say the second marriage also creates infertility. Is she then allowed to marry a third man? So the Gemara says like this. Top line of the Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara says, Girsha Muteres Hasheni. She gets divorced, she's allowed to marry a second man. So the Gemara makes a deal. Sheni in, Shlishi loy. If she gets divorced from the second man, also with infertility issues, so then she can't move on to a third man. That's it. Two, no three. Why? Zok the Gemara, Masnis the money. Who must be the Tana of our Mishnah? Rebbe. Must be Rebbe. The Tana you learned in our Braisa, our Gemara. Mala Harishan Omeis. If you gave a bris to the first baby and then the baby died. Umei, Sheni, Omeis the second baby and then the baby died. Shlishi, what do you do with the third baby? Loi Timal. You're not allowed to give the baby a bris. Tibi Rebbe. Because Rebbe holds what? That a chazaka is created with two times. So if a chazaka, again, you have to remember, we're jumping chazakas over here. One chazaka is that a chazaka is a lady is unable to have children. And one chazaka is that what? That in the family, the babies don't handle bris. They're not exactly comparable. That's the big bulk of today's shir, is we're going to be comparing chazakas to each other and asking ourselves, are these chazakas comparable? In the case of the Mishnah Yevamos, we're talking about one lady, her body. Her body showed us that she can't conceive. So we all know if infertility is a problem in the woman, no matter who she marries, it's not going to change. Right? If it's her problem in infertility, it's going to be her problem no matter who she marries. But the
Gemara... Rabbi, putting aside the question of comparing the two chazakas, whether in two times in one situation is evidence of going to be the third time versus the other, what's the problem with a woman who can't have children and getting married?
No, the problem is...
the first time.
The problem is a fear for the man...
No, medically, she can't have children.
Because the man will not be able to be mekayim his mitzvah per revu. I mean, the man...
So it's faster for him?
It would perhaps present a problem for him getting married, knowing that he'll never fulfill the mitzvah per revu, unless he takes a second wife. I mean, that would be the only issue.
What if he already had children? Can he marry someone who can't?
Possibly that might be different. If he already was mekayim the mitzvah per revu, then maybe it wouldn't be such an issue. Again, it's not an issue of ashchos hazera, because they're going to have regular relations, what the Gemara calls derech biyah. They're going to have normal relations. The fact that she can't conceive, I think Gemara has this kasha. If so, are you allowed to live with your wife when she's pregnant? Why is that not considered ashchos hazera? The answer is because that's called derech biyah. You're having a normal relationship. So obviously this woman, you can have a normal relationship, a normal intimate relationship with her, but she can't conceive. So the Gemara was concerned about the fact that the man would not be mekayim his mitzvah of peru. Okay, so the Gemara says, it's tali namachloikis rebbi nebshim gamliel. Reb Shimon Gamliel oimer shlishi timo. Reb Shimon Gamliel says not so fast. He says three times. Revi'i loy timo. We have machlokes Rebbe Reb Shimon Gamliel about what creates a chazaka. Do three babies create a chazaka, or do two babies create a chazaka? So the Gemara thinks the same machlokes between Rebbe Reb Shimon Gamliel by Mila is true by infertility, by akaronis, by a lady who's an akara. So if after two men we see she's an akara, that's it. She's done. Or you wait till three. That's what the Gemara says. And then the Gemara says, well, we got a problem. Vatanya, we learned in a Braisa Ibcha, we learned in a Braisa reversed the opinions. That Rebbe said three times, and Shimon Gamliel said two times. So the Gemara says, Haiminayach Binaisa. Which statement was said last? What does that mean, which statement was said last? If you look in Rashi number two, Rashi says, Eza mehamishnayis nishtas achreina. Which statement was taught last? The Nismach Allah. That's the one we're going to rely on. Al Milsa Demar u Demar. The cholchad v'chad ma shitasei kemaisa, the nokte shitasei the chavre ubasraisa ikar. Says Rashi, we're going to go whatever was last. Because the tendency is that people change their mind. People retract. So just because one Tana said something in the beginning, could be he changed his mind when he got older. So whichever statement we have on the books as the later statement, that's the statement that we're going to hold is the main statement. So if we have literature somewhere that Rebbe said something later on in life, about the Shiloh of Bris, that's going to be the one that we're going to consider authentic. So the Gemara says, well, let's see if we can find anything. Tashma, I'll bring you a proof. Back to the Gemara. The Amr Rebchi about Abba Rabbi Yechon. Mice, listen to this Gemara. Ba'arba achoyos b'tzipuri. There were four sisters who lived in Tzipuri. Shemala Rishayna Umes. The first sister had a baby. She gave the baby a bris. Umes, and the baby died. Shnia, the second sister, had a baby. Umes, and he died. Shlish is the third sister. Umes had a baby, and the baby died at the bris. Revius, the fourth sister. Now, just Nebuch, feel bad for the grandparents over here. The grandparents lost three grandchildren from three different daughters to Mesa Machmas Mila. So now, when the fourth sister has the baby boy, so Basaf Neib Shem Gamliel, she comes to Shem Gamliel. Amala, he tells her, Al Temoili, don't give the bris. Oh, why don't you give the bris? Because you already have three times where the babies in this family die because of Mila. So this is a new chiddush of Mesa Machmas Mila. Mesa Machmas Mila till now was in the same family, the same biological mother. Now we're saying Mesa Machmas Mila in cousins, that three sisters are going to share the same blood situation to the point that it's now going to cause them to all have children that are Mesa Machmas Mila. That's a chiddush. That's already a jump. That's not the same type of chazaka that we've learned till now of Mesa Machmas Mila. I remember at a Talmud of mine who told me that he wants, before he gets married, he wants his kallah to go on birth control. So I said, why? He told me because his wife's sister had very bad morning sickness when she got pregnant. So he's convinced that if his wife is going to get pregnant, she's also going to have very bad morning sickness. So I said to him, Mechatesa, how do you know your wife's morning sickness is going to be indicative of her sister's? Terence, maybe this Gemara. You see from this Gemara that there are certain similarities that sisters share. And we'll see that this is even a Geah Halacha L'maisa.
From a medical standpoint, hemophilia, which presumably is why these babies are dying, very good, from bris, is related to the X chromosome.
Which is carried
by the woman.
By the mother.
That's what the mother donates to the male child. So
It would make sense.
It's not surprising that three sisters all maintain the same gene on the X chromosome.
Well, now what's interesting is we're going to see the Chida writes it's even three brothers.
That could be a different illness, but this is specifically, hemophilia.
But he says the same sugya. He said the same sugya. Three brothers have babies that are also machmas milah.
Three brothers.
Yeah. So yeah, it's an interesting question from a medical standpoint. Thank you for pointing that out, Seth, for the medical input. It's interesting to realize. We're going to talk more about this question in the Gemara about what is considered genetic mitzad the Gemara. So again, I definitely appreciate all the medical insight that everyone can give us when we're learning these types of sugyas. But let's see what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, if Shimon Gamliel said, don't give him a bris mila. Why? Because the three nephews, the three cousins already died. Now, why is this important to us? Says Rashi, Alma Masnisa Kamaisa Achrinaisa the Haimaisa beside Yom Shimon Gamliel. Says the Gemara, when did this story take place? This story took place at the end of Reb Shimon Gamliel's life. How do you know? Rashi explains, because Reb Yochanan, Reb Chia Bar Abba was quoting from Reb Yochanan. So Rashi says over here that Reb Yochanan, Shahaya Amoira Vesoif HaTanoim. Reb Yochanan was an Amoira, but he lived at the end of the era of the Tanoim. So Reb Yochanan was the end of Reb Shimon Gamliel's life, and he's quoting B'Shem Reb Shimon Gamliel. So this must be the latest time Reb Shimon Gamliel said something. And you see from over here that Reb Shimon Gamliel was the one who said three times creates a chazaka, not two times. Okay? So now we have a hachra. Reb Shimon Gamliel says three times creates a chazaka. Frag the Gemara, what's the proof? Frag the Gemara, v'dilma yasi shlish is not mehaveh, amar lo. Frag the Gemara, what's your raya from the story? The story happened to have been a case where they only came to ask him after the third baby died. Maybe if they would have asked him after the second baby died, Reb Shimon Gamliel would have also said that two times creates a chazaka. There's no raya from the story. The whole story was a case where they only came to him after three babies died. Maybe if they would have came to him after two babies died, he also would have said, don't give the baby a bris. You have no raya from the story. So the Gemara
Rabbi,
said...
Rabbi, yes. I may have missed this in one of the prior shurim, but in a chazaka, circumstances have to be identical. Since there's a 50-50 chance you're going to have a girl, how does that affect whether there's a chazaka or not?
Well, the chazaka over here is with boys.
The chazaka, that if you'll have a third boy or a second boy, this will happen.
Right.
But you don't know if you're going to have that.
No, but you do not. The baby's born already. You're holding the baby in your hands. The baby's now on it's the seventh day. You're about to call the caterer to book the bris. And someone tells you.
So maybe after the second or the third one, depending on whether you hold it's a chazaka, you're not allowed to have any more children.
Okay, that's a different question that maybe we could address, but maybe you have no right to put yourself. My gut feeling would be is that first of all, as you pointed out, it's still a suffix. Maybe it'll be a girl, and even if it's a boy, the worst case scenario. So the baby, we learned that the baby could get a bris when he gets stronger. He just won't be able to have it in Yom HaShemini. So I don't think that would be a reason not to have the baby just because he can't have a bris Yom HaShemini. But once the baby's born, lefanenu, so now we got a dan. Is this baby considered a ro'i lemila? So the Gemara says no. What's the Gemara says? 1 second. In Cain, my asaduse de Reb Chiya Bar Abba. What was the whole chiddush of Reb Chiya Bar Abba? Reb Chiya Bar Abba must have come to tell something with this story. So what was the chiddush? The Gemara says, no. You know what the chiddush was? Not how many times creates a chazaka. The chiddush was the dilma hokamashma. This was the chiddush. The achoyos machzekes. The chiddush of the story is that sisters create a chazaka. Zakar Ashi on the left side wasn't mean sisters create a chazaka. The chiyecha, just like the isha muhzekis begimel pamim, just like one woman in her own body creates a chazaka after three times. Kachi muhzekis b'sholosh achi yoseha. You can also create a chazaka with three separate women three times. Now again, that's a very, very large leap to say, well, if one person's body is a certain way, three women's bodies is a certain way, and therefore the fourth sister is that way. Again, putting aside medicine for 1 second. But that's what the Gemara makes, that's such a jump. So then the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, 1 second. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, says Rava, Hashta the Amris, Achoyes Muchzekes. Now that you're telling me this bomb chiddush, that sisters have the ability to create a chazaka, it should come out, Halacha Lamaisa, the following din. Lo Yisa Adam Isha Loi Mi Mishpachas Nichvin. A person should not be allowed to marry a woman from the family of Nichvin. Nichvin, Rashi says, are choylin, they're sick people. There's different versions of what their sickness is, but it's a family illness. We'll call it a genetic family illness. So you shouldn't be allowed to marry to that family. Why? Because we just learned that there's certain things called chazaka that are based on family members. So if Nebuch, you see a family where there's three family members that are sick, so you shouldn't be allowed to marry, or two family members that are sick, you shouldn't be allowed to marry to the family because you're guaranteed that you have that dominant gene that's going to continue in the next generation. So Frank the Gemara v'loy mishpachas mitzarim, or family that has mitzarim. But listen to this. V'ho, there's chazik tulsas in the... In order for that to happen, there has to be three times. You have to have three siblings. Not enough to have two siblings, you have to have three siblings. In order to have a chazik, a chazoka, of family members, it's not enough to have two. Even though we have machloketin Rebbe and Rebbe Shimon Gamliel for Mila, or for Katlonis, or for Akara. Is it one, is it two or three? For this new din, of family members, everyone agrees you need to have three. If let's say, for example, you have a family that has two sisters have illnesses, so then you can't assume the third sister is going to have it. It has to have three. Okay, we'll have to talk about why. What's the difference? If it's chazaka, it's chazaka. Why is this chazaka different? But the Gemara continues.
But Rebbe, if you need more to make it, maybe the Yama that holds three by the same person, maybe holds four by sisters.
We'll see.
Siblings. How do you know that? How do everybody agrees to this?
We'll see. We'll see.
You have to up the game by one.
Because we'll see. We'll see. It's mefurish like that in Rishonim. That's why I'm saying it's the Rashba, the Muki Yosef, and Shulchan Aruch. It's mefurish that everyone agrees that whatever you hold by everything else, the sisters are going to always require three. We'll talk about it, but that's not debatable. But the Gemara sounds like that. The Gemara says v'hu, there's chazik three times. What do you mean v'hu? Shouldn't it be taller than Machlokes Rabbi Yishem Gamliel? So the Rishonim speak out. The Muki Yosef speaks out. You see from over here that no, whatever you hold by Mila, whatever you hold by Katlonis, whatever you hold by Akara, everyone holds over here. It's three. We'll have to see why. We'll see two.
Why would they say prohibit you from marrying into the family? You could have a girl. You could have a mitzvah of Puravu, potentially, and Mila is a separate mitzvah, isn't it?
For which case, marrying the sisters?
Who is saying we're prohibiting you moving you. Marrying into a family if they experience
I guess the Gemara assumes that you have no right to actively expose yourself or to your future children to a genetic disease. So you're not allowed to marry a family where there's some form of it. That Gemara is just an example of a genetic disease. So if you know that, now how do you know that today we have testing? At times of the Gemara didn't have testing. So what was their testing? Well, if two siblings have X, so you can assume the third sibling is going to have it, and therefore it's a recessive gene, and therefore you're not allowed to get married into such a family. Now we'll talk another more about this from a Lomdisha standpoint, hopefully later today. So the Gemara asks the kasha.
Isn't there basic chilek whether it's an outside factor
or
an inner factor?
Yes, very good. Very good.
What are you talking about?
That's what the Achareinim suggest. Yes. That's one of the simple answers. One is, the difference between the case of Mila and the case over here is the chazak is in one person versus the chazak in multiple people. Whenever you were referring to multiple people, you always have to have higher numbers to prove your case.
Right, whereas when with the other one, it's with the woman herself.
That's right, very good. We'll see, that's the assumption the Chalkas Mechaikik makes based on Rishonim, but we'll see there is a Me'iri that has maybe a different way of explaining it. But yeah, that's the Poshet way of explaining the difference between the two cases. The Gemara continues, and again, there's so much more here to talk about, which we're going to have to wait till Belina the next week. But the Gemara continues, the Gemara says, Ma'avi Allah, what's the end of the story? How many times creates a chazaka? Two times or three times? So Gemara tells us. Listen to this. This happens to be a great story, which I remember hearing from Rabbi Beryl in one of his shiurim, and I finally was zeicha to see it inside. The Gemara tells us like this. There was a story with Rabbi Yochanan, b'knishta de Ma'on, in the city of Ma'on, b'yom kippur m'shechol yis b'shabbos. The case was, Yom Kippur fell out on Shabbos. Umol rishayin u'meis, and the first baby was born to a family, and the baby died. Shnia, second baby, umeis, and the baby died. Shlishis, the third baby, Boaz, Lefanav, they came to the rabbi. Amalah, he said to the lady, Lichi umoli, go for it. Even though we already had two babies that died before, he said, go for it. Okay? Now, Amalei Abai says, Chazi, I see the kasharis esura visakanta. I see that you are willing to be so convinced that two times don't create a chazaka, that you're willing to do something which is a shayla of iser, and it's a sakana. Now this blineda we need to talk about next week. Why is it iser? So Rashi explains, because on the tzad that the baby is not supposed to get a bris milah, and therefore it's milah shloi bezmanoi. If you do a milah shloi bezmanoi on Shabbos v'yom kippurim, you're doing a chavala. Chavala is an iser. So therefore, Abai says to him, you're really so convinced that two times doesn't create a chazaka, you're willing to take it to the bank and A, put the baby in danger, and B, even more so, you're willing to be a nisser. Why? Because on the tzad that it's taka, a baby that's not supposed to get gemalt, so it's a milah shel bezmanah, you're not going to perform a milah shel bezmanah in Shabbos. That would be a nisser chavala. So therefore, Zogt Abaya, you must be really convinced. You must be dead certain that two times is not a chazaka. So Abaya says, okay, I respect your certainty. So Amalei Abaya, Abaya, Samach Allah Abaya. Abaya took this psak and he used it for himself. V'azel ninspa l'chayma. He married a girl named Chayma, who was Barta the Isi Berei de Rabba, who was the daughter of Isi Berei de Yitzchak, Berei de Yehuda, the Nasev Rechava de Pumbedisa. She was married once to a guy named Rechava from Pumbedisa, v'shachiv, and he died. Rabbi Yitzchak Berei de Rabba, Rav Chana, v'shachiv, v'nispa hu, v'shachiv. Abaya married a woman who was previously married to two other men. Both men died, and Abaya married her, because Abaya said, we see that two times doesn't get a chazaka. And Abaya died from it. That's what took Abaya's life. And so Rabbi Berwan, in his shir that he was discussing Abaya's life, he mentioned this gemara, that Abaya died because he married a woman that was married to two men previously, they both died, and he married her. Why? Because he was convinced that chazaka is only created with two, not with three. And Amamish took Abaya's life. Because Abaya married a woman that was had two husbands that died. So Amar Rava says it can't be. Umika the Ovid Uvda Ben Avshe. Kiha, is it possible that Abaya would have done this? Vayihu da Amar, he is the one who said, Avin de Samcha, Yitzchak Sumcha la Bar Samcha. Avin Yeshla Bechazar, Yitzchak Sumcha Eina Bechazar. He has a statement that Abaya didn't trust everything he heard from everyone. There are certain people he trusted, certain people he didn't trust. One of the people he didn't trust was the person who came, who quoted, he did not trust Ibn Yitzchak Bar Yosef. So if he didn't trust Ibn Yitzchak Bar Yosef, why would he paskin on himself a story to marry a woman based on something he heard from Ibn Yitzchak Bar Yosef? Because he never thought Ibn Yitzchak Bar Yosef was trustworthy. V'oid, says the Gemara, another svar. Amar, maybe, the Polig L'Inyan Mila. Frankly, maybe the whole machloikis between Rebbe and Shimon Gamliel is when to establish a chazaka is only said when it comes to Bris Mila. B'nesu and mi pligi? Do they argue by marriage? What would the svara be to be machalik? Why would you say that the machloikis between Rebbe and Shimon Gamliel is only by Mila and not by marriage? So the Ritva writes that the svara is pashit. By Mila, you're referring to many different babies, right? You have one baby that died. Now, what happens to one baby is not indicative of what's going to happen to another baby. So that's when maybe you have a machloikis how to establish a chazaka. But over here, it's one woman. One woman keeps on having husbands die. So maybe when it's one woman that keeps on having husbands die, maybe that's a whole different set of rules. Meaning...
But Rabbi, it's one mother having all the babies.
Okay, that's true. Again, but I guess the svara is still at the end of the day, there are different babies. Meaning even babies that come from the same mother, at the end of the day, they're all unique.
It's not the woman who died, it's the man who died. Just like the different babies. It's
no, but the Gemara is attributing the death to, we'll talk in a second why, but the Gemara attributes the death to the woman. Meaning it's something about her. But that makes sense because we're still focusing on her. In the case of the Mila, we're jumping. We're focusing on baby A, and then we're focusing on baby B, and then we're focusing on baby C. So yes, baby A...
But the baby inherited something from the mother. That's speculation, that the baby inherited the same weakness from the mother. It's not the baby Sam developed a baby.
But it's still not muchach. Every baby can still develop, meaning all children that come from the same parents are all still slightly different. They all have their own little knaches to them. So it's not muchach, at least the Gemara thinks in the Havamina, that to say that just because one baby from one parent had a certain illness, the second baby is also. So that's what we need more times. But if one lady has shown us that her relationships lead to a certain way, it's very possible that it's more indicative and you don't need as much. So that's the Havamina of the Gemara. Okay. That's the Havamina. That's the way they would follow in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, in, yes, Vatani, we learned that they argue by marriage. Nisus Larishan, if she married the first man, Umeis, and he died. Lishani, she married a second man, Umeis, and he died. Lishlishi, Loitinase. Devi Rebbe, Reb Shimon Gamliel, Mishlishi, Tinase, Levi, Loitinase. So the Gemara says, no, we do find that Reb Shimon Gamliel and Rebbe argue not only by Mila, they also argue by Katlonis. And then the Gemara says, one second, Bishlo Magabe Mila. And I understand by Mila, it makes sense. Why? Ikka Mishpacha de Rapi Dama, the Ikka Mishpacha de Kamit Dama. I understand that you can establish a chazaka about Mesa Machmas Mila. Because every family has their own way of dealing with bleeding. Some families can handle it better, some families can't handle it better. So I understand, Dr. Gemara, why there's such a chazaka called Mesa Achiv Machmas Mila, and maybe even Mesoi Cousins Machmas Mila. But Frank the Gemara, Ella Nisun, my time. What type of chazaka is there that if a lady marries men and the men die, what's that svara? So Gemara gives two pshatim. So Gemara says, "Amalev motcha Ravashi hachi amar avimi me'agrunya b'shmei derav huna mayein goyim." Her mayon. The Gemara thinks that something's wrong with her internal body parts, and when the men live with this woman, they catch some disease, some infection, and that causes them to die. It's the relationship. It's the tashmish, the bia that they have with this woman. She must have some form of an infection, something in her, internally in her body. And that's causing all the men to die that marry her. That's first pshat in the Gemara. If Ashi, I'm her mazel garam. No. It's her mazel. She has this really bad omen. She has this really bad mazel. And her mazel is what's causing the husband to die. Now, obviously, we know the kasha, a mazel Yisrael. Okay. Ayin ksubis da beiz and namba beiz. All the sugars over there about mazel chagar. But in any case, those are the two pshat in the Gemara. Why would a woman be blamed, so to say? Why would we establish a chazaka that she kills her husband? So the first pshat in the Gemara is, it's something to do with every time that I have relations. All the men that she has relationships with, you know, personal relationships, they die. It must be there's some form of an affection in her. The other pshat in the Gemara is, mazel, she has just lousy luck. Her luck is killing the husband. Now, we don't think that she's actually killing the husbands. Right? That we leave for the movies, that, you know, the wives are actually killing the husbands. We don't think that the wife is actively killing the husband. But there's some mazel, there's some omen, there's something that's causing all these men to die. So the Gemara says, what's the nafkamina? My binai. What would be the difference between the two pshatim and the Gemara? So the Gemara says, ikki binai, the ears so miss. Let's say they don't have nisuin. Let's say they just have the first stage of marriage, which is called erusin. He puts a ring on a finger in front of two witnesses and says, Ariat Mukadesh Asli. That's erusin. So they're not allowed to live with each other yet, but they're technically halachically married. So if it has to do with living with her, he didn't live with her yet. He couldn't have caught that infection that she has internally. But if it has to do with mazel, they're married. So the mazel should have dictated that he dies. Inami, says the Gemara, another nafkamina, denofo mediklo meis. Let's say the guy fell off a palm tree. Right? The guy didn't die from some strange infection. The guy fell off, he got hit by a car. If the guy got hit by a car, you can't say he died because of he had relations with her and she has some form of an...
It could still be from COVID.
What do you mean?
I
was waiting for someone to ask me that sometimes infections can cause other things. I mean, you don't know if, let's say, this guy got infected by this disease of internal relationship and that caused him to, you know, lose his balance on the tree or something weird like that. I was waiting for someone to ask me that. But again, I think the Gemara means if he died from something which we don't attribute to anything. The guy, you know, got hit by a car. Nafal d'dikla, in my opinion, is like the equivalent of getting hit by a car. You can't blame it on her unless you'd say it's mazel, it's her luck. You know, she's got lousy luck and her luck is causing husbands to die. So the Gemara asks...
By the way, Rabbi, yes. I just want to interrupt for a second. Elliot, do me a favor. After you ask a question, could you please mute your phone? Because a couple of people have mentioned it. It's very hard to hear afterwards the Rabbi. So as soon as you ask, just mute it right afterwards. Thanks.
So, maybe, oh, yeah. Yeah,
Rabbi,
David.
Maybe it's not her mazel. Maybe she was driving the car.
It might depend on what the insurance policy looked like. Right? That's what they make... That's what, you know, the Hollywood makes tons of movies about women who kill their husbands for whatever reasons. But the Gemara doesn't suggest that, Baruch Hashem, right? The Gemara doesn't doubt our wonderful Jewish women that we're going to kill our husbands, right? At least not on purpose. Maybe, you know, indirectly, but stressing us out. But in any case, the Gemara says the two nafkaminas would be if he dies from a non-related to Tashmish, or they don't have Tashmish yet. So the Gemara asks, what's the end of the story? And this is what we need for today. Says the Gemara, Amo Reb Yosef Brei de Rava le Rava. Boy Minei Reb Yosef, Halachik Rebbe. I asked. Reb Yosef says that I asked Reb Yosef, I'm sorry, Amo Reb Yosef Brei de Rava to Rava. Boy Minei Reb Yosef. I asked Reb Yosef, Halachik Rebbe. I said, is Halachik Rebbe? Amo Li In. He told me, yes, Halachik Rebbe. Then I asked him, Halachik Reb Shem Gamliel? Is Halachik Reb Shem Gamliel? Amo Li In. He said, yeah. So, achuchi achuchi be. I figured he's making jokes with me. I asked him, is it this way? He said, yes. I asked him, is that way? You know, that's what a rabbi doesn't want to give you an answer. A rabbi, is this okay? Yes. Is that okay? Yes. But they're contradictory. Yes. That's a fancy way of saying, I don't want to answer your question. So he initially thought that he was trying to, you know, play with him. Achuchi achuchi be means you're making a joke. So Amale, he said to him, Loi, stomi, there's a lot of different Mishnayises. I can't be Machriya. I think they're both right. I have so many different Mishnayis and Shas that are Mashma, one place Rebbe's right, one place Rebbe Shemuel's right. So I wasn't playing games with you. I was saying that I just don't know. I think it's not a clear answer. So here the Gemara gives us an answer. Upashadloch Nesuin Umalkis Kerebi. The Sugya of Nesuin, which again, Nesuin means a woman who's an Akara. And it also includes a woman who is a katalanis, a woman who's killing her husbands are dying. And the Rishayim speak out, it also includes Mila. The Gemara doesn't say it, but Nisuin is who adin Mila? That's Kerebi. Then we pass like Rebbe that after two times. Vestis v'shar hamuid, but when it comes to establishing a pattern for Hilchas Nida, for a vest, and for a shar hamuid, kibshim megamliel. Then we pass like kibshim megamliel that you need three times. So this is very important for us. The Gemara is splitting the sugyas. The Gemara is saying sometimes you need three, sometimes you need two. When do you need two? Two times is enough for nisuin, which is either a katlonis or a lady who is unable to have children, and bris. That's two. When do we use three? Three is for Ashar Amud. That's the Mefarshim passing the Torah. And also when it comes to establishing a Vestas, to establish that a lady has a certain pattern, to see a neat...
What about the three for... It's Nathan, but it's three different... Or a Bris, but it's three different children, cousins.
Good.
Why isn't that automatically...
So that's the big shout that we got to get to today. That's the big Machloikis Rishonim. Where do cousins fit into all this? We'll get to that, Blin Eder, in a few minutes. But,
It looks like the division is Sakana versus Isser V'Heter.
Ah, that's the Pashat way of saying it. That's the way most people like to establish it. Because what exactly is the Cheshbon over here? Why is it that when it comes to Shar Amud, it's three, Vestas is three, and everything else is two? So the Pashat difference would be is that the other two, again, you're right for Katlonis and Brismila, but where do you explain the case of the woman who can't have babies? Where's that? That's not Sakana, right?
No, but potentially. It's not Sakana.
Right, so then
that's Isser V'Heter either, though.
Right, unless you hold the negate for Peruvu, so that's negate to mitzvahs or something like that. But that's the end of our Gemara. This is what we need for today. Is that the Gemara draws a distinction depending on the Chazaka. Now, Elliot brought up the Kasha that he wants to figure out. We didn't discuss the third category of cousins. Where do cousins fit into all this? And that's what we're going to see in a few minutes. Now, if you just take a look over number three in Shulchan Aruch, it's actually brought down the halacha. Shulchan Aruch says, "V'hu adinim isha mol b'na." If a lady gives a bris to her son, umeis machmas mila, and the baby dies, v'gam achaisa mol b'na, and her son and her sister has a baby, umeis machmas mila, shar achoyos lo yamolu b'nehem. The other sisters are not allowed to give bris to the children. El yamtenu, they wait at sheyigadlu v'yischazek koicham. So we spoke last week at length what those words mean. At sheyigadlu v'yischazek koicham. But in any case, what do you see from the Mechaber? The Mechaber paskens clearly that when it comes to the cousins, it starts after two times. That's no different than any other chazaka. After two times, that's enough to create a chazaka. And therefore, once you have a baby that after two times, you see two sisters presented with issues, the third one is not allowed to have a bris mila. Okay, that shouldn't be such a chiddush because that's probably an offshoot of the Gemara and Yevamos. The Gemara and Yevamos told us that Nisuin, and I told you the Rishayim speak at Nisuin, is who had the Mila, is like Rebbe, which is after two times, and this din of Mila is really a toitzah, it's a byproduct of the case of Mila, and therefore it should be after two times.
But earlier on you said the Gemara says that it's not a machlok, it's that everybody agrees by cousins, it's three. It's Adarabba, that even though my Gemara holds two, holds by cousins, it's three, because it's a...
No, that Gemara wasn't talking about Mila. That Gemara was talking about marrying into a family that had a genetic disease. That Gemara that says you have to have three, that was not talking about Mila. That was talking about marrying a family with genetic diseases.
The beginning of this year, when we first started, and we had the distinction of three different sisters, and you said that it's a low plug. That in that case, everyone holds, you need three.
No, I said that the loy plug is the case of the genetic diseases. That's what the Gemara says.
I misheard you. I don't know. I thought what you said. Okay.
The Gemara in Yevamos says that for the din of marrying into a family with genetic disease, that's who this chazek shloish upon. That's what the Gemara says earlier. We'll clarify, hopefully, in a few minutes. If you look in the Chidah, in the Sefer Birkei Yosef, he drops some what I consider some interesting halachas in this concept. He writes like this. Number four, in Mimishpach Achas, you have one family, Sholosh Noshim Mesa B'Neim Arishayim. You have one family where three women lost children, Machmas Mila. Now, this is not sisters. This is beyond sisters. This is cousins. Second cousins now. You hear this? We're not talking about sisters anymore. Sisters is Gemara. We're talking about Stam in the family. Shag HaMishpach HaVeinu Ninu Lo Yimolu B'Neim Arachas Yigad Lenu. There's a bomb chiddush from the Chidah. The Chitah took the Gemara of three sisters and expanded it to three cousins. Let's say you have three cousins. Three cousins have babies, not sisters, cousins. And each one of their babies are Mesa Machmas Mila. Zok the Chitah, you also say that's Mesa Machmas Mila. That's really where Mom is jumping. First, Mesa Machmas Mila was one woman. Now it's three sisters. Now it's even three cousins. Now, I don't know how far this is going to go. What happens if you have three second cousins, three third cousins? Now, we're all one big Jewish happy family, right? It's a chiddush. It's not clear to me how far the chidah is going to expand in a family. What's considered
a
family?
What is he using as the basis for that decision?
I don't know. He says over here, kidemuchach besugis hashas. Again, the Gemara expanded it to three sisters. The Gemara never says anything about three cousins. So I don't know. I'm not sure what he means by this. And then he says another whopper of a chiddush. V'hu adin ba'achim. Let's say you have three brothers. Or avu benoi. Let's say you have a father and a son. A father has a baby and a son has a baby. Again, this is not genetic. According to Seth, this does not work with...
There are no other cousins that had healthy babies?
So that's a big shiloh. That's a big discussion. What would happen if... How do you ruin the chazakah? Because again, let's say, for example, you have three sisters have babies that all die, and then there's another three sisters that all have healthy babies. Right. What happens then? So that's a... Yeah, I'm trying to stay clear of that shiloh. That's a big, big discussion. How you oikir a chazakah? How do you uproot or never get hold of a chazakah in the first place? Yeah, that would be a good point. When you're dealing with a larger family, you're obviously hopefully going to have those cousins that are having healthy babies. And then the Chida writes, what happens if you have brothers? Forget the women's side of things. What about the brothers? Who adin ba'achim, u ba'avu benoi, u ben benoi. Let's say he goes through the male side of the family. He says that's also going to be considered. He calls from the Rishonim. He calls from the Shulchan Gibbai. That's also going to be considered a chazakah. So again, before they knew much about genetics, therefore they were just using whatever they had. Family, so it doesn't matter if it's on the boy's side or the girl's side. Now today they probably have better ways of proving these things. But if you just look over here, number 5...
It might even be then a combination. Some two brothers and one sister. Or two sisters and one brother.
I would think so. Theoretically, I would think so, yeah. That would be an interesting svara. That you'd be able to mix and match. So let's say, for example, you have two brothers and one sister. Yeah, that would. I'm not sure if that would be considered mixing matching chazakas. I don't know. It's a good ahara. I don't know if that would be okay. Do we say that it's a boy thing? Or do we say it's a girl thing? Or do we say it's a children thing? I'm not sure. That's a very good point. I don't know what would the din be. Would it be able to establish chazakas crossing gender across? Let's say, for example, you have two siblings and a cousin. Well, let's say these are good shilas. I don't know if in that world that would be enough to create a chazakah. It sounds like it would, but I hear it. I think it's a good observation. If you look at number 5 in Evan Ezra, Simon Test, the Mechaber Paskins, Isha Shenissis, if a lady gets married, or Yinis Arsa, or she only has Erisin. That was one of the nafkaminas in the Gemara, was only Erisin. Lishnei Anoshim, two men, Umesu, and then they both die. Loi Tinos Lishlishi. She is not allowed to marry the third man. So this is very clear. This is marriage, and marriage is after 2 times. She already established a pattern that men die because of her. It's interesting. The Paiskim don't give the reasons. Well, which reason are you working with? Are you working with because of her Mayan, or are you working because of Mazel? The Shulchan Aruch doesn't give you any reason. It just tells you the fact. The fact is, and there's big nafkaminas, right? It should matter how he dies. You know, if she marries a guy that's terminally ill, the guy's going to die. He's Nebuchadnezzar terminally ill. You're going to tell me that's Mesa Machmas Isha? What's Machmas Isha? It's not her fault. Well, let's say they get married only after Erisin. It's very interesting. And I don't want to get into it now. It's a little beyond our thing. I'm trying to keep everything at least connected to Mila. I know I like to go off on a tangent. I'm trying to stay as close to the Ikra as possible. But it does need more discussion. What exactly is the Gedarim to the Sugya of a Katlonis? But here the Shulchan Aruch is just very vague. She has two husbands. They both die. She's now a Katlonis. She's not allowed to marry the third husband. Should it depend on why they died? The Gemara told us 2 nafkaminas. Shulchan Aruch doesn't tell us. But the Shulchan Aruch is clear. That 2 times is why, because that's what the Gemara said. That Nesuin, we hold like Rebbe, that after 2 times she's not allowed to marry the third one. So far everything's been very consistent. Mila, Nesuin are all consistent, everything is okay. Here's where the problem arises. Number 6. Zakta Mechaber also in Evan Ezra Simon Beis. Lo Yisa Adam Isha, a man should not marry a woman, Lo Yimim Mishpachas Mitzayrin, not from a family of Mitzayra, and not from a family that has this medical ailment. Fine. It has to be that 3 kids have it. If 3 siblings, 3 children have this illness, so now that's considered a chazaka that the family has the illness. So what's the kasha? Why all of a sudden is this 3? Why should this be 3? Shouldn't this be told in the Machlokes Rebbe and Shimon Gamliel about all the other chazakas? So it's really not such a...
How do we call
Mitzorah
a genetic illness? I thought
Mitzorah
comes from certain
Aveiros. Yeah, here we're talking about after the times of the Beis HaMikdash, where Tzaras over here means just a medical ailment. It doesn't mean the Chumash version of Tzaras. But the kasha is, why is this 3 and everything else is 2? Why is Katlonis 2 and why is Mila 2 and why is this 3? So it's not really a kasha on the Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara says that. The Gemara says, V'hu dis chazik shloish shepamim. But the question is why? Why does this need 3 times and everything else is only 2 times? Plus, this din was a derivative of where? Where did this din come out of? The din of chazaka of achayos. And by chazaka of achayos, we paskin that 2 is enough. So if this din of marrying into a family with a genetic disease is a derivative of the din of achayos, and achayos is after 2, why is this after 3? That's the kash. So if you look at number 7, the Chalkas Mechokik writes, He says, "Vafilu Rebbe, even Rebbe that normally holds of two, moidish ein lochush b'mishpacha mipachas mitzilsa zimna. When it comes to a family, then you have to have three times." Kach kosev an muki yosef perik habal yivimta. Now you have to ask yourself, is this any different than the three sisters that have babies that die? Why by the three sisters is it enough to have two sisters that share it and the third sister is not allowed to have a bris? But when it comes to genetic diseases, you have to have three. Isn't this exactly the same case? Isn't the case of two siblings with genetic diseases the exact same thing as two sisters that have babies that died machmas milu? It's what the Gemara says. Again, so the Chalkas Mechaikik is not really answering the question. What's the difference? Because his answer is because that's in a mishpacha. But we're doing the same thing with Achoyas. Achoyas is also a mishpacha. Achoyas is a family. So why, when it comes to sisters with bris mila, two is enough, but siblings with genetic diseases, three is the number. What's the difference? It's very, very difficult. We'll have to see another pshat in a second. But before we even get to that, there's another problem. If you look at number eight...
Well, could you be by the bris? You're not saying that the person will never be able to get the bris. You'll wait and later, and they'll get the bris later. So it's not finishing something up, definitively and forever. It's just a delay of the mitzvah.
Could be.
Whereas the other thing, you're putting a kibosh on the entire person's ability to get married.
Could be.
Forever.
Could be. The difference over here is that you're here, you're not ruining, you're just delaying. So for delaying, after only two, you're willing to take that information and to delay it. Masha Inkein, to never marry someone, you need to have more conclusive information. I think that's a nice idea to be machalic between the two cases. If you look in the Beis Yosef, number 8, he quotes a Rosh, where the Rosh brings down this din of four sisters. And he passes that if you have four sisters, and they all, like the Gemara's case, sisters create a chazaka. But the Beis Yosef ends off and he writes, I'm just trying to pull it up, give me 1 second, he writes, V'teimani lo mehishmitu ha-rif ha-ramam v'rabbeinu. Frek the Beis Yosef, I don't understand why the Rif, the Rambam, and the Tor, none of them bring down the din of achoyos machsekes. No one brings down the din of sisters with the Bris Mila case. Who's the only one who brings it down? The Beis Yosef. He brings down Shulchan Aruch. He writes that if you have two sisters that have babies, and they both lose the baby, so the third one's not allowed to have it. For Ekta Beis Yosef, why doesn't the Rambam bring it down? Why doesn't the Torah bring it down? Why doesn't the Rif bring it down? It's a very stark akasha. It's a Mefurash Gemara. The Gemara said, Achoyos Machzekes. Sisters create a Chazaka. So if sisters create a Chazaka, for Ekta Beis Yosef, why does none of the other Rishonim bring it down? Why does everyone leave out this din of Achoyos Machzekes? So the Bach wants to come up with a very practical pshat. And he writes in number 9 on the bottom. He says, "Umiu arif v'haramam loy kasvu." The Rif and the Ram don't bring down the case of sisters creating a chazaka. Elosvilu d'loy chashashu chachamim l'mashiira pamachas b'tzipuri. He says because this happened once in a while, a mice in Tzipuri where they had four sisters and three of them all had babies that were meisa machmas mila. D'loy chashina l'meuta d'loy shchichi. So the Bach basically says is that this concept of achoyes machzekes is so not common. It's mamish what he calls it's a muta. But look at what the Beis Yosef, he writes, Vada, he says, but Nira Loima is suffering the fashas l'hakel. But says the Beis Yosef, as far as I'm concerned, it's still suffering the fashas. Meaning, he doesn't believe that there's a real illnesses that sisters connect to each other, that their babies have the same illness. But says the Beis Yosef, it's still suffering sakana. V'loy tibol shlishis, v'chein pasik m'shochan aruch. Says the Beis Yosef, says the Bach, I don't agree with that idea. He wants to tell you that the Rif, the Rambam, and the Rosh didn't think this is a real thing. They didn't really believe that achoyos are machzekes. They thought the fact that one family in Tzipuri had a very nebuch, terrible, terrible story where three sisters all had babies and all the babies died. They thought that was not the norm. And it's not even enough to bring a lahalacha. It's such a far-fetched case because one time, that's not a statistic. However, Zuck the Bach, but Lamaisa, I think that's a big jump. I think at the end of the day, you're putting the baby's life in danger and therefore I don't think you should do it. So it sounds like the machloikis we're showing him is this a real chash or is this is mamish far-fetched? Far-fetched. The fact that Achoyos Machzekes
doesn't make sense. The Gemara is just telling a story for no good reason. Gemara is telling a story in order to see what's going on up at it.
Right, that's the way the Gemara reads. Right, the Gemara reads like that. The Gemara says, "V'omar Rava, you see him over here that Achoyos Machzekes." It sounds like from the Gemara that was not disputed. Yet the Rif, the Rambam, and the Rosh all omitted, all left out. I'm sorry, the Rif, the Rambam, and the Tor all left out this din. But if you look at number 10, the Aruch HaShulchan has a different pshat. Dr. Aruch HaShulchan number 10, Ach Yesh L'Spala, it's a pella. How could the Rambam and the Tor leave out the din of sisters creating chazaka? The Rif also left it out. These are the three main big players in Pesach Halacha. Bishim Darmin Hasan the Gemara says over there, Omar Rav, Hashda the Amar Achoyz Machzakis, Lo Yisa Adam Isha Loi Mishpachas Mitzarim, Lo Mishpachas Nichve. Vuhu, this Chad, it tells us in there. Right? The Gemara said, the only time that a family creates a Chazak is if it's three times. Vadin Azek Kosvu HaRamam, Beperchav Al Mechaz Yisurubi, Ubitur Bishokan Arachav and Ezra. That everyone brings down. Everyone brings down the din of not marrying to a family with a genetic disease. But they don't bring down the din of the Bris Milah. That's very strange. Why? Because the din of marrying a family with genetic diseases was learned out from the din of a chazaka by sisters. That was the flow of the Gemara. The Gemara said, Hash the da'amrit achoyas machzakes. Now you're not allowed to marry a family that has a genetic disease. So how could the Rif, the Rambam, bring down the din of the genetic disease and not bring down the din of the Bris Milah? It's backwards. So Zogt Aruch HaShulchan, because of the Muki Yosef, the Avagav, the Besakana came along to betray Zimni Avichazaka. Even though when it comes to the Sakana, two's enough, Mikomak B'meichash Mishpacha, when you're trying to finding an ailment in a family, Hakol Moedim Dirak B'Gimel Pomim Yesh Lachash. You need more. You need three times. Now what's the difference? So it could be like Elliot was saying, that by Mishpacha it's not so much a Sakana, it's just a question of who can get married. U'lefizeh, Zogt Aruch HaShulchan, Lefitivei Rava, says the Aruch HaShulchan, it comes out according to Rava that the din of Achoyis is not like the same case of a lady herself. The gam lav dafka Achoyis. It's nothing to do with being sisters. Ela kol b'nei mishpach. It's the din of being in a family. Right? Family has certain genes. Leficha cheshmita rabbi shem, therefore the b'shem left it out, the kivon da Achoyis lav dafka, v'ikir den zakos b'makam acher. U'kishesh chazok agab upon me, enkan rabbiso. He said, we already learned this. There was no need for them to write this because the din of achoyos is the same thing as any chazaka. There was no chiddush. There was no chiddush in it. And this they already wrote in Hilchas Milah that after two times you're not allowed to take a chance. U'kishyesh chazaka, and you'll tell me what happens if it's three times. And there's no chiddush. Everyone knows three times creates a chazaka. So why did the Beis Yosef write that after two times you have the din of Achoyos? He learned Rava was only a comparison, but not exactly the same. It's a comparison. Meaning Achoyos machzekes for Mila is after two times. But the din of family, that's three times. Because they're not mamish comparable. The Rif and the Ramam learned that it's mamish the same din. It's the same din. What does it mean it's the same din? It means that it's going to have all the same halachas of everything we learned till now. If it's three times, so it's about the chazaka. If it's only two, it's like regular milah. So there was no chiddush. There was no need for them to write. Not that they don't agree to it, but there was no need for them to write. Okay. Now, I just want to get to this Me'iri before we stop for today. The Me'iri, in number 11, has a whole different pshat in how to split what gets two and what gets three. It says the Me'iri like this. Le'in choyli. When it comes to a sick person, Amru, we said, Sha'achoyas machzekes. Sisters create a chazaka. V'chol shehuchzeku sholosh achoyis. If you have three sisters, b'choyli megune, lo yises revis. You're not allowed to marry the fourth sister. She b'cheskes achu yises. She has the same status as her sisters. Again, when it comes to a genetic disease, you need to have three. Shema toim efrektim iri. Maybe you'll ask me, ma chiluk ben ilu leilu. What's talk of the difference? Why, when it comes to a genetic disease, you need to have three, but when it comes to mila or akatlonis, it's only two? So he explains. Nisuin hein le'inyan akara hein le'inyan katlonis. When it comes to marriage, whether it be to marry a woman who's a killer or a woman who can't have children, l'chumra, we go l'chumra. After two, we already establish a chazak. V'chein mila, when it comes to mila, b'me'a sakana, when it comes to sakana. Malkus, we didn't talk about. Vestus, why do Vestus, drabon l'kula? V'shar hamu'ed lo'y mafkenina nimoyna el b'dov rabor harbe. Why does shar hamu'ed need to be three times? Because you want to make the guy pay more money. So if you want to make the guy pay more, you have to prove that this animal is really a sharamud. That's why you need three times. V'chayli, this is the kicker, Zakti Meiri. Milsa deloy shchichahu. The case of a chayli is not normal. It's not normal to have a genetic disease. Therefore, v'akilubei, we were makel until we see it three times. So the Meiri is saying the difference between the genetic disease is not like everyone else is saying, is that one's in the family, one's in the person. The difference is the likelihood of the issue. Again, a chayli, The likelihood of there being a genetic family disease is not so common. Therefore, you need another time to prove that there's a genetic disease. After two is not enough to prove genetic disease. You need a third time to prove genetic disease. And therefore, once we prove that there's a genetic disease at the third time, that's enough to create a chazaka that you can't marry into the family. But Lina, the next week, we're going to use all of this information to try to break down the ikar lumdis of the chazakas that we have by Mila and the chazakas, and we'll talk about nafkaminos, and we'll really get into the lumbus of how to be masber these different types of chazakas.